I want to talk about something that I think is really critically important as we start out the May series, and the idea of being single vision. When you stop and think about the concept of single vision, it really has the idea of being focused on something, kind of a laser beam on it. Your single vision. I remember one time when I was a kid, and we'll talk about this concept here in just a little bit, but I was a kid and playing sandlot football, and I was, needless to say, by my great stature that you see before you, I was not one of the bigger kids playing football. And I got hit so hard one time, I got clotheslined. If you kids, you know what that means. It's fun. And I hit my head on the ground, and the ground was hard. And I got up, and I literally, for about 30 seconds, maybe a minute, I don't know, I actually saw double vision. I mean, like, there were two of everything that I was supposed to be seeing one of. And that's the concept of single vision. You're focused on one thing. You see the one thing. And so we want to talk about single vision in sincerity of heart. Now, turning your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. And I want to back up just a little bit beyond where maybe normally we would. We're going to pick up in verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God, reverencing Him. Do we have that mindset of single vision? It requires focus. It requires our sight being set firmly on Christ, our sight set firmly on eternal life. You know, sometimes when you stop and think about it, people in the world really are often that double vision or double-minded, easily following for things like bait and switch ideas and concepts and tactics. James chapter 1 and verse 8, I believe it is, tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Why? He's not focused. His mind isn't fixed on the one thing that is important. And the question is, what about the sincerity of our heart? Is that important? Yes, it is. But I'm going to suggest to you in the short time that we have here this evening that sincerity of heart has got to be coupled up with other things. Sincerity of heart also has to be coupled up with obedience, something that we just read. It has to be coupled up with the truth. Because I can be sincere as I can possibly be and still be in error. There are a lot of people in this world, in the religious world, who are sincere of what they believe. They genuinely believe something, but it doesn't measure up to God's inspired word. Are they sincere? Sincere, yes. But are they sincerely wrong? Yes, they are. Our sincerity of heart as Christians must be focused more on the idea of, is it in the Scriptures? Can I prove that what my beliefs are, what I am sincere in, is my sincerity of heart genuine? Is it based upon God's inspired word? Or is it just because somebody told me this? Or is it because I want to believe it that way? So when we think about these things, possessing a sincere heart fits into the framework, if you will, of being focused and single-minded. Our sincerity of heart must be coupled up with the obedience to God's truths. You know, I think about Acts chapter 23 and verse 1, where Paul talked about having lived in all good conscience before men and God. He said, in all good conscience I've lived before them. But the question is, Paul, in that time, what were you doing? He was sincere. He believed that persecuting Christians was the right thing to do. But he was sincerely wrong. In fact, he learned just how wrong he was on the road to Damascus. He learned how wrong he was, no matter how sincere he was, whenever he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. Why are you persecuting me, Saul? Well, was he persecuting Jesus personally? No, he is persecuting the church. You persecute the church, you're persecuting Christ. And he says, hard for you to kick against the goats, isn't it? It's a tough thing, isn't it? And so we see that kind of thing. In all of his sincerity, he was opposed to God's will, and he was opposed to obeying, at that point in time, he was opposed to obeying the gospel that was being preached and obeyed to and obeyed by others out there. Stop and think about that for just a moment. He had to, as he would write later in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, obeying from the heart that form of doctrine. Then you got sincerity down. Then you've got sincerity of heart correct when we're obeying from the heart that form of doctrine that's preached from this book right here. Paul, in my estimation, and I guess your verbiage, your vernacular, what word you would like to use here, was the greatest, or if you will, the worst persecutor of the church, and I think personally, ever. That's my personal thought on it. He had people that he was literally standing there holding the garments, protecting the garments of those who were stoning somebody to death, and he was rooting it on. He was a man who took people who were doing nothing more than being Christians, as the Bible defines what a Christian is, and hauling them off into prison and sometimes even to their death. Sincerity of heart. He had sincere heart. He was wrong. Let's couple up our sincere heart. Let's think about this from the standpoint of Paul, who even would acknowledge himself as he had write to the young gospel preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, where he would write there, he believed himself, he styled himself, if you will, as the chief of sinners. The chief of sinners. But you know what he did? He gained a real sincere heart. He obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came to a conclusion that he could no longer persecute the way that he did. He could no longer resist the word of truth. What a marvelous thing that is. So when we start talking about single vision and sincerity of heart, let's measure it up to this right here and make sure that what we are teaching, what we are believing, what we are adhering to is matching up this to this right here. That, folks, is what the Bible talks about when you look here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22, sincerity of heart. That's what it's talking about. Am I living according to this book right here? Am I living the way God would have me to live? Am I accepting this as the truth and obeying it? If there's anyone here who's never been obedient to the gospel call, we ask a simple question this evening. Why tarriest thou? What are you waiting on? If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you are ready to repent of your sins, if you are ready to confess the name of Christ before men, then you're ready to be baptized. You're ready to have your sins washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. The question is, why not tonight? If you need somebody to study with you, we will be more than happy to do that. Many people in this congregation will be more than happy to study. But whatever your need may be, maybe you've not been living in sincerity heart, and yet you are a Christian. You need to come back on His terms. Why not tonight? If you need to respond, won't you come right now as we stand and sing this song?